With 20,000 man-made objects in space, preventing collisions is becoming complicated and costly. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. But first, a landmark case heads to Europe's second highest court today. Apple is challenging a 2016 order to pay more than $14 billion in Irish back taxes. The BBC's Andrew Walker reports.
The European Commission said the Irish government allowed two subsidiaries of Apple to attribute almost all their earnings to a head office which existed only on paper. The arrangement, the Commission said, enabled Apple to avoid taxation on almost all the profits generated by sales of its products in the entire EU. Because it was a special arrangement not available to other firms, it was, the Commission decided, illegal under EU state aid rules, which are intended to prevent governments giving companies an unfair financial advantage. The Commission has said Apple should pay the unpaid tax. Ireland and Apple are appealing against the ruling in the EU court. They say the Commission made a number of legal and procedural errors. The case feeds into a debate about profit shifting by international businesses seeking to reduce their tax bills, something many countries are trying to tackle through the Organisation for Economic Cooperation and Development.
Andrew Walker there. Let's do the numbers. Oil prices have steadied after yesterday's 20% spike. Brent, the international crude benchmark, is down 0.4% to around $68. And as the Fed begins its two-day policy meeting in Washington, D.C. today, the European Parliament is expected to vote on Christine Lagarde's appointment to lead the European Central Bank. It's been more than 100 days since pro-democracy protests began in Hong Kong. The demonstrations have taken a toll on the city's reputation as one of Asia's financial hubs. As it tries to address negative perceptions overseas, the government reached out to public relations firms for advice about how to continue luring young professionals and high-income business travelers to the city. But not a single firm responded to the call. To explain why is Aaron Sutterman, editor-in-chief at the Holmes Report, which oversees analysis into reputation and communications.
I think that an assignment of this nature will appear to many PR agencies to be more trouble than it's worth. Many of these PR agencies have workforces that are largely comprised of young Hong Kongers, and so this kind of an assignment may not sit that well with them. It may also attract unwanted attention from an agency's other clients. And fundamentally, I think that the agencies had some pretty serious misgivings about the nature of the plan in terms of what they're being asked to accomplish, address negative perceptions, underscore the strength of one country, two systems. It's very difficult to spin a positive global story around these issues if the fundamental problems in Hong Kong are not being addressed.
Aaron Sutterman. It's been 50 years since Neil Armstrong set foot on the moon, and companies are spending billions on new technologies to catapult spacecraft into the dark unknown. Morgan Stanley estimates the industry could generate more than $1 trillion by 2040, but as more objects accumulate just above the Earth, it's creating a logistical headache. Dr. Holger Krag at the European Space Agency describes a recent close call between two satellites.
What happened a while ago was that we were encountering another active satellite. And of course, in this case, you need to coordinate action with the object you're encountering, because if both maneuver into the same direction, you haven't solved the problem. And that coordination is still following very old principles in the absence of a modern space traffic management system. In practice, we are writing emails and doing phone calls to coordinate where to go.
So you're saying there's no easy way to find out who's responsible for various spacecrafts that are about to collide?
Yes, first of all, there's no obligation to maneuver away. Second, there is no central database of, you know, who's the owner of which spacecraft and what the phone number is. Third, we can do this manually today, but there will be soon 10,000 satellites more in space compared to what we have now. In other words, we will get more busy. So can we do that manually forever? Probably not. We will have to look into automation of that process.
So if there's no centralized database for contact information, how do you find the right number?
We have built up our own database as much as we can. We share, and we hope that many operators do, share with, for example, the U.S. Air Force system that provides the information on the object position, to share with them also the phone numbers and contact data. Not everybody does it, and there's no obligation to do so, but we can only encourage people to do so for their own safety.
So do you just Google around to find the right person and the right phone number or the right email address?
Yeah. If it's not done, I have to go on Google and find company web pages, but you don't find there the number of the flight dynamics or operator specialist. You normally have a marketing person on the phone. You know, that's not professional. We need, of course, also something that is operated 24/7. Spaceflight doesn't stop when the working hour is over.
So is it time to regulate space then? And how would we do that?
Yeah, we tried to regulate space since 30 years on international level. So the international law gives a lot of freedom to every spacefarer. And very often, regulation waits for the technical solution to come first. We would like to develop and demonstrate that you can coordinate automatically between machines with machine learning, with the right data to be exchanged, to really coordinate and get to conflict-free optimum trajectories for everybody. And then I hope regulators will have a look at this and write that down in regulation.
Okay, Dr. Holger Krag at the European Space Agency, thank you so much.
Thank you.
In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.